Chen Rob McGregor welcome you to a place where all kinds of phenomena flourish. Voices whisper, ancient secrets, signs and symbols are abundant. UFOs, ETs, ghosts, and even the dead move about freely. Here we meet authors, researchers, and investigators of the mysterious, the strange, and of the inexplicable anomalies that surround us. Step out of the everyday world and take a journey into the mystical underground.
And we can start in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Mystical Underground. Thank you for joining us. This is Rob McGregor and
Trish McGregor.
And our producer and tech magician, John Posey. You can go to themysticalunderground.com where we make regular blog posts and where you can find out about our books. Among them are Phenomena, Harnessing Your Psychic Abilities, The Secrets of Spirit Communication, Sensing the Future, Aliens in the Backyard. Our latest book is called Mind-Blowing Synchronicities, The Latest Science, Stories, and Research. Trish's latest novel, White Crows. Rob's most recent novel is called Tulpas, a story of mysterious beings created through deep meditation. If you are watching us on YouTube, we would appreciate it if you would take a second or two to click the like and subscribe and notification buttons so you never miss an episode. If you prefer to listen to the show, it is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Please subscribe there.
Hey, our guest today is Bronwyn Miller. She's an artist, writer, kinesiologist who discovered the healing wisdom of interdimensional goddesses during meditation sessions. She's the author of 2 novels, and her new nonfiction book is called Elemental Goddess Oracle, 45 Cards and Guidebook. She lives in South Africa, where right now it's 1 a.m. in the morning. I'm sorry for that.
Yeah. Welcome, Bronwyn.
Hi, yeah, it's 3 hours past my usual bedtime, but I'm keeping strong.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, your book, Bronwyn, is very layered. It's part divination, part acupressure guide, the 5 elements of Chinese medicine, also 4 Western elements, air, fire, water, and earth, and of course the interdimensional goddess wisdom. Can you talk about how all this came together?
It's quite a wild story, actually. So I kind of figured that first. And I was very atheist at the time. I really, I thought I wanted to work with muscles, bones, and joints and diet and do sort of all this very carbon body stuff. But as it's evolved, I've gotten much more interested in the very woo side of it. And funny enough, I now almost do none of the carbon body stuff. And it's all chakras and working with spiritual stuff and past life. And, while this was happening, the pandemic hit, and we just recently relocated to Ireland with our family and all of our money, and then sort of the pandemic hit, and it was awful, and I had a bit of a nervous breakdown, and during that time, I started to draw these amazing goddesses. I was having other experiences. I'd had a psilocybin experience that had given me the gift, a very strange artifact. I don't know if this has been mentioned, but I have an extremely weird way of channeling, which I'm working with because I'd like to be able to have it be more accessible. But I have psychedelic orgasmic experiences during which these goddesses download from the sacred feminine.
Huh.
So that started happening in 2020. And when I realized it was a deck of oracle cards, I finished the book. I wrote the book. It came out of my fingers, but it didn't come out of me. It channeled right through me. Mm-hmm. And I was working with the elements at the time. So as a kinesiologist, we work with traditional Chinese medicine and the 5 elements. So I was very familiar with that. And then I started working with the 4 elements of astrology and Western elements. And that was fascinating. And the goddesses are layered. They're both. They've got aspects of both. Partly because the yin, which is what they're about, the divine feminine, is unknowable and mystical and strange. So it needs to have these aspects of sort of almost alienation in a way, because it must be unknowable. Yang is obvious and, you know, firm and clear about who it is, and yin is the opposite.
How do you know that these goddesses are interdimensional beings? Do they have an existence on their own, or could they be something like archetypal images? So just about what your sense of reality about them.
That's a good question. Thank you. I can't be 100% sure, but what has been channeled into me, I get downloads, and sometimes the downloads come in almost like shutters, like a camera shutters of images that come in so fast that I can't really read them. I get flashes, and then they kind of unfold later. But I've come face to face in some of my experiences, because they keep happening. They're still happening to this day, nearly 6 years later. I will sometimes meet entities, and they will speak to me. And they've said that they come. These goddesses come from places where the divine masculine and the divine feminine are beautifully balanced with each other, and they're coming to help us bring that same balance here. We're in that.
Well, we need it.
So badly.
Yeah. Well, when you say you meet them, is it physical meeting?
It's in my these orgasmic meditations that I have, which I'm now able to sort of spontaneously bring on. For example, in the bath, sometimes when I'm walking in nature, I'll ground and I'll have an experience. I had on Thursday a whole 3 or 4 hours of light codes downloading from the sun, which was in this incredible sky full of clouds, and having this feeling that these goddesses were still coming. There must be millions of them, and they kind of rise with my pencil as I draw. I've got one. I'm constantly sketching. I'm constantly drawing them.
Oh, wow.
They're still coming.
Yes. Were you an artist to begin with?
Yeah.
Okay.
I studied fine art, and I dabbled in the arts for years. I've got my paintings actually scattered all around the house. Every now and then I remember that I used to have a career as a more of a fine artist, and now I'm just a crazy crystal lady.
But you also mentioned that you're a comedian too. Is that right? Do you do stand-up comedian, or do you just write comedy?
No, I don't have the balls to do stand-up. I've tried. I joined an improv group when I was much younger, and I just would go. I'd be fantastic. You know, before we got on stage, we'd all sit around in South Africa. Everybody smokes a bit of weed, and we'd all giggle and make fantastic jokes, and I'd be the funniest person there. And then we'd get on stage, and I would just be a fringe.
Stage fright.
Yeah. Terrible stage fright. So I write comedy now.
Yeah. And that seems kind of a contrast to this other aspect of your life, this deeper mass consciousness, higher consciousness that you're involved in. Is it a conflict? Maybe not a conflict, but it's two separate aspects of yourself, I guess.
So the duality has been an aspect of my entire life. I've never known what I wanted to do, where I wanted to go, what I wanted to study. I'm interested in everything, and I want to do everything. So I've
what sign are you?
I've traveled. What sign? I'm a Virgo.
Oh, really? Oh, that's unusual for a Virgo.
It's unusual for a Virgo. They are. They're out of balance with each other, but they're also really part of who I am, because on the one side, I am deeply yin, and I love to go into the unfathomable and the unknowable. I love mysteries. I love puzzles to solve. But then on the other hand, I have quite a strong yang side, and the yang side is the side that wants to make people laugh, that wants to bring people up out of their funk.
So how has... you're also a kinesthesiologist. How has kinesthesiologist impacted your life? So is that different from physical therapy, or more than beyond physical therapy?
It is. So kinesiology is a form of energy medicine, but it came out of chiropractics. So we work a lot with the physical body, lots of muscle work, muscles, bones, and joints. And, I've since kind of moved more into the very much into the energy side, and I've created my own brand of healing called Evolvology. And my belief is that we evolve in real time. Our DNA upgrades in real time. And we've seen this from Bruce Lipton's work, from Joe Dispenza's work. We can do that. And that I actually, my mission in life is not to heal other people, but to help other people to facilitate their own healing.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Have you gone to any of Joe Dispenza's workshops?
No, he doesn't come to South Africa, no.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
I've read his book, and I have his, I'll often put his Becoming Supernatural in the background.
It's a great book.
It's amazing.
That's a good book. Okay, I have a question about your spreads. Can you also use tarot spreads?
Yes, you can. So I've done it. I haven't really read tarot cards since I was a 16-year-old in high school. I was nearly suspended for it. I did pull out my tarot books, and I did a tarot spread for myself, and it did work. Because you just extrapolate meaning. There's so many layers of meaning on the card. So just for example, to show you one, that is the goddess of the forest. I don't know if it's visible. I think it goes blurry because the camera's focused on me. And she says, tuned into the oneness of nature, she is wood and earth. And when you have a look in the book, I'll just show you how it works. She has emotions as well. Hostility, unhappiness, transformation, and in tune with. Then there's a practice with it, and it talks about conflict. And then there's a meditation that goes with it, and it'll have a little acupoint as well. So for me, what I wanted was I wanted the cards to be able to work for anybody, from a practitioner of TCM who works with yin balance to a lay person who just wants to read the card and maybe rub the acupoint to somebody who wanted to get more of a mystical meaning out of it. So I've layered it in such a way that it can give you anything that you want out of the spread, it will give you.
Yeah, I tried it.
Yeah, I want you to tell your story, but wait, how did you get these acupressure points? Did that come with these downloads?
Yeah, so it was, like I said, everything wrote itself. I drew the goddesses, and then they kind of categorized themselves into their own elements almost, well, perfectly. And I say almost perfectly. There were one or two things that didn't fit. I did redraw a couple of the goddesses. I did. So it wasn't all entirely perfect, but the way they wrote and the way they worked on the meridians of the body, there are 14 meridians of the body that we work with in kinesiology, and 12 of them are in these elements, and they all seem to find a spot. And then so the names are taken a lot of the time out of the names of the elements. So, for example, the goddess of the celestial pillar, the goddess of the abundant gate. These are the traditional Chinese medicine names, and they're so beautiful that I had to keep some of them. And some of them are named for their aspects as well. So what I can do is I can surrogate as doing an energy work. I would surrogate for a goddess, and then I would muscle test myself. So I muscle test myself to find out what the emotions were and what the acupoints were.
I drew three cards on a novel I'm writing, which is centered on alchemy. And interestingly, all three were fire cards, so that they really fit. I can't remember what numbers they were now, but when I read them, it was interesting. It seemed to go along.
Well, alchemy's all about fire, so
yeah.
It does tell you something.
Yeah.
The way that, yeah.
Oh, I was just going to ask you another question. Go ahead.
ask me.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I got to ask you. What happened to the masculine side, the male gods? They're not coming to you.
They're not coming to me. So okay. I have tried. I've tried to draw. I have this incredible relationship with my husband. He is my divine masculine, and he represents in every way the god in my life, and I am the goddess. So all of these different forms, and he's always represented to me in my experiences as the horned one. So like Pan, a very old god, a god of the forest, one of these early kind of, so when I see him, he's, which he obviously loves, he's sort of got these horns and he's, you know, strutting around the forest. And so I've tried to draw him multiple times. I have him. I have six or seven attempts, and they just don't want to. They don't want to come through. And what it is, my hands are really about the feminine. My work is always about women. Even when I was a fine artist working in sort of galleries. I only painted, funny enough, I mostly painted myself. I painted self-portraits. And this, this one on the wall here, showing you, I painted a lot of self-portraits, but myself kind of different versions of me. So that's
really good.
Yeah, with blonde hair, with black hair, and I would dress up as different avatars and go out into the world as that blonde character. And I've always been interested in layering and in femininity and makeup and in how we, in themes like sexual violence. I actually work with, I work in South Africa in gender-based violence. It's one of my, the outreach projects that I do with my husband. And we work with grandmothers who are the primary caretakers of their granddaughters in urban township settings in Johannesburg. And these are really poor places and people have no resources. Huh. So we work with teaching the grandmothers how to speak to their grandchildren about sex, condomization, consent, etc. This has always been my passion. I've always been interested in women's issues without wanting to be exclusionary towards men, because I think we've had a lot of this really divisive rhetoric for the last 20 years or so, and it's been awful. I think there is such a thing as toxic masculinity. It is what we're seeing in the world, but it hurts men as much as it hurts women, and it's the shadow side.
Mm-hmm. Husband better start channeling.
So what is the message that the overall message that you are bringing to women?
I'm here to bring trauma healing, sexual healing, and divine feminine healing to women. Mm-hmm. That is my purpose with the card.
Yeah. Hmm.
Now, when you got this published, how did that work? Did you submit your drawings and they created the cards?
No, it was quite crazy, actually. So I started doing, I finished the entire deck in 2021, early 2021. I immediately sent it off to 5 Oracle deck publishers. Uh-huh. And I got back 2 bites. One, and I hadn't colored them in yet. I'd just basically written them and they were all still in pencil. And one woman said, these are great. I really love them. I'm going on maternity leave and I'll sign you up when I'm back, but please color them in the meantime. So I said to her, coloring them in, and she didn't respond to any of my messages. And eventually, after about a year, I got a message back from her assistant to say, oh, she's left. She didn't come back from having the baby. And no, we don't want to do Oracle cards anymore. So I kind of wasted a year. Yes. And then I got other bites. But I was also working with them at the time. I don't know where my – I've got a little bag. I printed them out, and I'd started working with them. And that gave me an opportunity to really understand how they work. And to write the guidebook in such a way that I could do the spreads and talk about the meaning. I was giving them out to friends of mine, card readers, kinesiologists, and craniosacral people to work with in their practice and getting amazing feedback. And because I wasn't able to find publishers, South Africa is a difficult place to get a publisher. It's difficult to find, people don't look. I decided I was going to publish it as an Apple book, and I had the whole thing. It took me ages because I'm technically illiterate, but I eventually had a beautiful book set up, and I thought, right, before I publish this myself, let me see. And I sent it out to one publisher, Bear & Company, because I'd looked through all of my books and had seen that Bear & Company and Inner Traditions are the best esoteric publishers in the world. And I thought,
that's true.
If this is meant to be, this is meant to be. And I sent out one request, and 7 minutes later, I got back a response saying,
wow, 7 minutes? That's incredible.
We've never seen anything like this. We'd like to sign you. So they were meant for me, because everybody else, the other 2 bites that I had, they were like, we don't like the Western elements. You can either do the Chinese or you do the Western. We don't like the combination. Or we want you to do it more this way. There's too much information. Bear & Company, Inner Traditions, have said, what do you as the artist feel your message needs to be? What's important? They've shown me things that they say were extraneous and could they go? And they absolutely stood up for the artist every time when I said, no, to stay. They said, right, it's staying. It was
That's
pure
great.
Expression. It's been amazing. Working with them has been amazing.
Yeah,
I've heard good things about that from other people too.
Are there publishers in South Africa though?
Yeah, but there's such a teeny audience of readers And then there's a teenier audience of people that read tarot. So to get published here would be really impossible. Mm-hmm. In fact, I've been trying to get my two novels, my two comedy novels published, and I've stopped looking at South African publishers. I'm looking at UK publishers now.
Interesting.
Have you tried the US?
The novels that I've written are set in London. South African women living in London. So I thought a South African publisher or an English publisher, but it'll happen. I know it will. The goddess came to me recently to say, your books are going to happen. It's okay.
Oh, okay. That's good. It's good they whisper to you.
They do. I carry around this little crystal and it has my goddess in it. Her name is Blaze. I've recently drawn her and she whispers to me all the time. I am the crazy crystal lady.
I love it.
So how has making this deck impacted your work as a kinesthesiologist?
Oh, it's changed my trajectory quite amazingly. Thank you, Rob. Great question. I used to teach it. I taught kinesiology for 5 years. So I studied PKP kinesiology, which is for lay people, for non-medical professionals. It's the most sort of rigorous training you can get as a kinesiologist. It's very, very pedantic, very lots of strict rules, lots of stuff you've got to memorize. So it was very structured. And I taught it. And so I was very structured while I was teaching it because you can't teach it. Well, I was teaching it one way and practicing it another. And I found the disconnect of that was too much for me. It didn't feel authentic anymore because the cards were really telling me to follow my own path. And that's what they keep telling me. And they keep telling me to trust. They keep on saying, you're getting this from source. Just trust it. And the minute I let go of my, in the back of your head, you've always got the skeptic. The minute you let you tell the skeptic to sit down, the creativity just comes out that you cannot believe.
You tell the skeptic to shut up is what you do.
Shut the F up, man.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So Trish, you have the cards there, right, by your desk. You should ask a question and pull, you know, 2-3 cards and have Bronwyn help analyze or, you know, interpret.
Okay.
Is that okay, Bronwyn, to do that?
Okay, great. I'm going to ask Rob if Gail's going to take you on.
Okay.
I'm going to ask if she's going to take both of us on.
Okay.
We have to shut up the skeptic. Okay.
It. It's a literary agent.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, do you read reverse cards?
I don't, but I did specifically design them so that you could if you want to use them in your practice.
See, I don't use reverse cards in tarot either. In fact, I read with a round deck, so it's impossible to have reverse cards. Okay. I got Goddess of the Clear Breath, Metal, Earth. Goddess of the Confluence, Earth. And Goddess of Finding the Way, Water, Fire.
Those are three cards?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. And did you do them as present, past, and future, or you just drew
I just drew three cards. Okay. I wasn't conscious of.
So the Goddess of, it's Metal. What is her number?
36.
36, thank you. I actually read her today.
She's beautiful.
Thank you. She's a metal and earth goddess, and she's really about grounding yourself and releasing that negativity into the earth, discharging it out of your body. She's humility. Her emotions are humility, tolerance or intolerance, judgment, and integrity. This goddess asks you to look at issues around humility, where tolerance may be stressful and integrity is vital. In these times where people are feeling so disconnected, have you allowed yourself to become intolerant of people because of different views they hold or different lifestyles they lead? Have you blocked yourself from caring for a personal group because you can't get past their position? This card asks us to put aside political, lifestyle, or ideological differences and to acknowledge the person behind the views. This doesn't mean you honor or even accept their views. It just means you're able to connect with them on human terms, regardless of their views. Judgment has never engendered communication. check with your inner divine self. Are you open to the person's humanity? This is the key to understanding or becoming tolerant of the person, even if their ideas or behaviors are problematic. Note, this doesn't mean tolerating abusive or dangerous behavior. Release this without allowing dangerous people back into your space, safe space.
I know what this is addressing.
What's that?
Well, our differences in political stuff with people.
Right.
Okay.
Not necessarily with Gail, though.
No. I don't know what her politics are.
Yeah. So. Right. Yeah. But I was thinking it was the bigger picture, too.
Yeah. Okay. And the second one was 19, Goddess of the Confluence.
Yeah, she's a earth and earth.
Right. She's a beauty, too. These cards are just exquisite.
I read this card today as well.
Did you?
You know it.
Goddess of the Confluence. This goddess actually blows me away. There's very few goddesses in the deck that are drawn from life, but this is drawn from a woman called Emily who looked after me when I was a little girl. And she always used to say that she was ugly. She was ugly. Her parents used to tell her she was ugly. And I thought she was beautiful. And she had this enormous smile. And everybody adored her. And she was so cute. So I drew her, and she says, beauty is internal and eternal, and she is earth and earth. Her emotions are confidence, alienation, and acceptance of self. And she comes to us to speak. I'm going to just praise you a little bit. I don't have to read the whole practice out with each of them. She comes to speak of acceptance of self and love and how we learn to love each other as little ourselves at each other as little children. As little children, we get told not to be full of yourself and not to be vain, and you need to love others more than you love yourself. This card really talks about loving yourself, being confident in yourself first, and acceptance of your whole self. And it also talks about unrealistic ideas, impossible ideas that you want to, that you are expected to live up to. It's not about that. It's about accepting yourself as you are.
Okay.
And also, when you put other people's needs before yourself, because you don't feel deserving of love, that's also part of it. When you don't think you're fantastic enough to be taken, for your needs to be taken as seriously, and when you prioritize other people's needs, that's really what she's about.
Okay. Then we have 44, Goddess of Finding the Way.
Ah, she's
water, fire.
Yeah. So water and fire is always interesting because they're opposites, but they play together a lot. And she says hot water and cold water change form. And she's about superstition and inner direction. So this is about, was there a time in your life when superstition, unfounded ideas about yourself and the world, diverted you from your true path or purpose? Or you've mistrusted your authentic inner direction or become bounded by a belief that warped your worldview. And it might have been a taboo or a myth or some kind of religious zealotry. Have you ever wanted to do something unconventional that would challenge people's ideas about women? So it's really about allowing your limitations to fall away and your superstitions about yourself and about the world to fall away so that you could be more, so that you could find your inner direction. And then they also have affirmations. Let's see what her affirmation is. I am free to be me in every way I want to be.
That's good. Now, did you come up with these affirmations or was this also channeled?
Everything in the book, I wrote it, but it was coming through my fingers. It's not in the style. I mean, I write comedy when I write, so it's not the style that I write. The meditations were so well done. I was blown away when I went back. Do you know how when you, I don't know if you work with meditation or with hypnosis with clients ever, but I do it sort of in the room spontaneously with their story. And I have to speak extremely slowly because I'm trying to weave their story together, weave all the different sort of tonalities and different strategies for them and, you know, help them find redemption or release. And I have to do it very slowly and I really have to think deeply and, you know, come up with the words. When I wrote this, I've never seen my fingers fly like that.
Yeah, that's a true.
Yeah.
That's that creativity that you just, it's got to come out.
Yeah. So a download that I had recently was that we are not creating. We are actually remembering.
Mm-hmm.
because it's all in the Akashic record. So we're remembering something that we knew deeply before.
When are we, as humans, when are we going to start remembering more?
We are starting to, don't you feel?
Well, yeah, I feel it. I mean, I'm talking about collectively, so that the world isn't so much at odds with, everybody's so much at odds with each other, countries, people.
Yeah, that's the duality. So the next deck of cards that I'm working on is a is about duality. It's about that yin yang, and how it's actually just the world is really going through a transformation, and everything gets more extreme before a transformation. Uh-huh. That's what I think. I've had downloads. We're rushing towards a singularity. And that, Borges talks about the aleph, which is the point in time that contains every single time. There are so many cultural practices around the world and myths from all around, from all these different places in the world that talk about a singularity, some kind of big bang thing that we're all going towards. So the goddesses have said we're coming into a convergence, and that singularity is a transformation point beyond which the duality goes, and we accept each other more.
Wow, I hope they're right. That would be great.
Yeah, it'd be nice to move past where things are now, especially in the United States.
Yeah. I have two brothers in the States, and it worries me because I feel like the States, it's so political. Every conversation I have with my brothers, I don't want to hear about Biden or Trump. I don't want to hear any of that stuff. I want to hear about what they're on. It's like all my American friends and family can only tell those stories. They're stuck in narratives that are
not. Yeah, they need to find new stories. That's what it is.
Yeah.
We all do.
Trish was born and grew up in Venezuela, so there's a lot of tension related to that because these Venezuelans being shipped to a prison in El Salvador, and so we're going to be traveling to Aruba, and she's afraid to leave the country. She might not get back.
I am, you know, which may be stupid, but I don't want to end up in El Salvador for some reason.
Yeah, Americans going through a wild time right now. It's crazy for the rest of the world to see it because, you know, I'm just watching it and not partaking. So I don't be passionate about one thing or the other, but it's really wild. The last 10 years of who would have predicted the crazy stuff that's been happening?
Yeah, right. And the people of the world know so much more about America and the United States than we know about other countries. You know, I mean, the nature of the country and the things that happen here that causes that. Do you do much travel yourself?
I used to before I had kids. Traveled a lot.
How many kids do you have?
Two. I've got two teens, 13 and 16.
Now, do they use the cards?
My daughter does. My son loves the drawings. He's an amazing artist, but he's an atheist. He keeps telling me.
Interesting.
Quite funny. We've just come. I say we did travel. We went to live in Ireland for 2 years over the pandemic period, and we were desperate to get the kids traveling because my husband and I both love it. But it'll come. Hopefully, book tours will start happening.
I hope so. That'd now, what was Ireland like? That must have been interesting.
It's the most beautiful. I think one of the most beautiful places in the world. It's the green chakra. It's the heart chakra of the world. It's gorgeous. But I struggled because of the pandemic, and my mom's Irish. My mom's dad was Irish, so growing up, she always used to say, "We're Irish, we're Irish, we're Irish. We're not South African. We're not African. We don't belong here." She always used to say, "White people don't belong in Africa. We need to get out of here." So I grew up thinking I had to go live in Ireland because I thought I was Irish. And I'd been there many times. I had family there. I was the South African Rose of Tralee when I was 24 years old. So I have this very strong Irish tradition. And then I got there and I thought, they look like me, but they're not like me. These are not my people. And I just couldn't integrate. And my South African husband, my Jewish South African husband, integrated and he loved it. And he misses Ireland terribly. But I just wanted to come back to South Africa. I wanted to be in Africa. And I came home, the first time in my life I'm comfortable calling myself African because I was born here. I am African. I don't belong anywhere else. Permanent.
Interesting.
Yeah. So,
well, how do you balance all these disparate, all these different elements of your professional life, specifically comedy writing and esoteric healing and kinesiology? I mean, all this stuff you talk. How do you balance all this stuff?
Well, I think it all belongs together. I think we have a tendency to want to box ourselves as one thing, but we are many things. And the more we embrace our multi-dimensionality and our multidisciplinarity, the more exciting and interesting our lives will be. I've had many careers throughout my life, and I want to keep having more careers because it brings me closer in alignment with meaning and purpose. Everything that I've learned about myself so mm-hmm. far gives more scope. And also the teaching. So the comedy was really great when I'm terrible at stand up in front of strangers, but I love making a room full of people who know me laugh, and I have quite a filthy mind as well. So I've met very inappropriate times. I'll go up and whisper something in someone's ear. And my classes loved me for that. They said my reviews were always, we laughed and we learned.
Huh.
So you just bring that in. I actually think laughter is the medicine we really need in the world. Mm-hmm. I no longer watch. I used to love war movies and dramas and, you know, terribly deeply depressing things. I can't watch that anymore, and I can only watch comedy and beautiful documentaries and light stuff.
Huh.
Comedy makes things that make us laugh, that bring us up out of our funk. Man, that's mm-hmm. medicine.
Yeah.
Who in your deck is the lightest goddess, the most upbeat?
I actually, it's funny you should say that. I think it's the goddess of the spirit river. Let me find her. So she's a young goddess who's really about playing with yourself, playing with your body, playing with yourself, playing with your mind, learning about yourself. But it's play. It's really stop playing.
Wait, who is she, goddess of who?
Sorry?
Who is she, goddess?
Goddess of the spirit river, and I can't find her.
Uh-oh.
I can't find her.
Worst. Get out. Come on, girl.
She's hiding because she's playing.
Yeah, really.
My kids were actually talking about my kids not touching my cards. My daughter was playing cards. They're all out of order.
Are they supposed to be in order?
Yeah, I put them in order so that I could show you stuff.
Okay, yeah.
She might have fallen out of the deck as well. I don't think she's actually in here.
What number is she?
Got her. Here we go.
Okay. She's what number?
She's number 18.
Oh, okay. Here she is.
She's fire and water. So when fire and water come together, that's always quite a powerful combination. You know, it makes steam.
Mm-hmm.
Water can douse fire. Fire can, you know, dry up water. So it's an opposites attract kind of elemental theme. She's also, let me see if I can find her. She's 18. She's the goddess of the spirit gate, and she says, discover your fire. I mean, that's all about secretiveness, gloominess, amusement, excitement, and playfulness. And she's also about sensuality and sexual pleasure. And that's what a lot of my, not a lot, but I'd say about 7 or 8 cards mention sexual pleasure, orgasm, enjoyment of sex. And that's also very important. And, you know, And in the beginning, it was difficult to talk about because it's an uncomfortable subject. It would make me uncomfortable. It would make people I was talking to uncomfortable. And then the goddesses said, you need to get past that because that's really a very big part of the cards. And if it wasn't for orgasm, we would not be here. We're all here because of trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of orgasms. So that's the conception story of people. And yet we don't talk about them. And
that's true.
It's crazy. The world is centered around the male orgasm because it's requisite for life. You know, you can have life without the female orgasm, but male orgasm is the biological imperative. So there's a lot of emphasis on that. And I actually want to put the emphasis on the female orgasm because it doesn't serve a physical purpose. I believe it serves a spiritual purpose. Mm-hmm. And I think if we were living in a world where women's sexual pleasure was as important as men's sexual pleasure, we would be living in a much more spiritually fulfilled world. Doesn't that make sense? So yes, I speak about my orgasms and I encourage people to speak about their orgasms and ask, demand what they want.
Huh. Have you ever been censored? I mean, at places where you want to talk about this?
Well, actually, funny you should say that. When I was teaching, it was one of the things that was brought up with me one day about the college. They said, you can't talk about your orgasms. And I said, well,
that's funny. Oh, God.
A woman who's been married for 20 years and I'm speaking about the fact that I'm having the best sex and the best orgasms of my life. Having healed myself of massive sexual trauma, which meant I wasn't able to achieve orgasm for many years of my life. Through kinesiology, I've healed a lot of that, and these goddesses have healed more of it. And I was speaking to a room full of adult women, and I said to the owner of the college, honestly, if those people are training to become kinesiologists and they're uncomfortable with a married woman talking about healing herself from sexual trauma and being multi-orgasmic, and that makes them uncomfortable, then I'm not the person with the problem. That just made sense to me. And it was a very big, and that was when I realized I needed to walk away from that, because really, it's crazy that we can't talk about this.
Yeah, it is. And it's funny. Here's kind of a synchronicity. As you're talking about this, all these sirens are going by outside of our house. And I thought, oh, okay.
There's a new television show coming out about a woman who has cancer and she has a bad marriage. And she decides to face the rest of her life by just going out and having sex with as many men as possible having the experiences that she has missed all of her life. And I may not be describing it accurately, but that's sort of the sense of it.
Well, what's the show?
I can't remember the name. I've seen.
As you're speaking, all these sirens are going by. All these cops.
It hasn't. It's something that's coming. It hasn't started yet.
God.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting that because I'm a feminist, so I would have always have said, "Oh yeah, sexual liberation, that's great." But in the last couple of years, I've now realized that sex is extremely sacred, and there's a very fine line between exploring yourself and having fun and finding yourself and putting yourself spiritually at risk in those places. And I worry, I don't know if you guys have seen there's this explosion of OnlyFans, and there are these two girls, women in the UK who are just having sex with 1,000 men at a time.
Jeez.
Sounds like the TV show, Rob.
Crazy. And people are saying, oh, wow, you know, that's women's liberation and they're not being pimped. They're doing it for themselves. And I just think it's terribly sad because they're spiritually swapping energy with every one of those people. And I think you just clutter yourself up when you do that. I'm not judging. And I'm not saying that I've had sexual experiences. I've done lots of stuff and I don't judge myself for it. But I do realize that when I did that stuff, it damaged me. Yeah. And I just think we don't see sex as sacred and we should. It's everything. It's how we get you. It's how we live. It should be a ritual. You know, people will talk about the orgasms and sort of side-eye me because I talk about them, because we're actually living in a sterility cult. And I say that because we have all these religions that basically whitewash human sexuality out of the picture completely. And then we look at all the pre-religious civilizations and religions, and they were all about sex. There's all these great big penises everywhere, you know.
Yeah, very that's valid, true. Very
the Sheila Nagis in Ireland that are splaying themselves open, their vaginas open. And those, we call them fertility cults. But the opposite is true. We're living in a sterility cult where we're supposed to about the thing that brings us here. It's crazy. Our origin story.
Yeah, in writing, oftentimes for getting published, it's much easier to write about violence than about sex.
Yeah,
because sex tends to be more taboo than violence. Violence is acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Especially in fiction. I mean, that's crazy. That is nuts.
Yeah.
What are your two novels about?
They're coming-of-age novels. a young woman living, the first is a young woman. It's my story, actually, living in London at the age of 22. I'd gone there to escape the conservativeness of South Africa and just explore. And, you know, I partied too hard, drank too much, and had a really great time and learned a lot. So that's the first novel. The second is actually about lockdown. It's a psycho thriller drama comedy about the lockdowns.
So you can make it. You can joke about it then.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, right.
Now, when you talk about how you do comedy writing, who do you do it for?
Well, for the books. So,
For the books. Okay.
For the books.
Yeah. Who are your role models? Do you have certain people that you look up to or have in the past?
I was asked that last week, and I remember Dolores Cannon. She's a recent role model of mine. I adore Dolores because she's like a little old granny, and she's supposed to be knitting and baking scones, you know?
Yeah.
Talking about reincarnation and past lives, and she's just so wild. She's so fabulous. She's got this kind of crazy crystal lady mind in a granny's body. Love Joe Dispenza. I love Teal Swan.
Wait, who was that last one?
Teal Swan.
I'm not familiar with that.
She did a lot of work about women's sexual healing after trauma, and I worked through a lot of that stuff with kinesiology 7 or 8 years ago. Joe Dispenza and Bruce Lipton. Yeah. Bruce Lipton is the bomb. I adore him. He's like an Energizer Bunny Hobbit.
Yeah, he's good.
Good vibes.
Yeah. Is Teal T-E-A-L?
Yeah.
Okay. Teals.
I also love, you're writing books about synchronicity. I love Aya Whiteley. I love her. I love Diana Pasulka. So, you know, Aya Whiteley is the NASA scientist who speaks about synchronicity.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, blows me away.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got lots. My mom's a spicy lay herbalist. She was a lay herbalist growing up, and all the people in the neighborhood knew that my mom would treat them for free, and they couldn't afford to go to doctors. So we had the dream of sort of gardener, domestic workers coming to us for free remedies. And my mom jokes that she is responsible for getting more women pregnant than Jacob Zuma, who's our ex-president, who had 18 children, because she was famous for her fertility tea, which I took pregnant.
Interesting.
So I grew up with this really wild mom and made me wild, you know, I remember, and I've fought it, you know, but I remember we'd have chanting circles. This is unheard of in South Africa because it's very good. And so we'd have witches and chanting circles. And then if she needed to dig comfrey, because comfrey's her favorite herb. To this day, it's her favorite herb. She says that comfrey is going to be the next cannabis. And so when she wanted to pick comfrey, she'd wake me up and I'd have to come outside and sit in my knickers, because you've got to be as naked as possible. I'd be a little girl sitting in my knickers with her, because two witches digging up the comfrey at full moon at midnight was more powerful than mine.
I love it. Oh, that's a vivid picture.
Yeah. She's very cool. Yeah.
Well, now, what is comfrey used for?
Comfrey. Well, it's for bone setting, but it's muscles and bones and joints. I use comfrey a lot when I've got anything that needs to heal the skin. It's amazing. If you make a tincture for skin, it reverses aging. So, I'm going to recommend my favorite. It's a tincture. It's a cream made of beef tallow if you eat meat. If not, shea butter. Cannabis, which gets cooked into it, and comfrey tincture. And it's like you're erasing wrinkles. I did it for about 4 months last year, and I have no wrinkles. Look at
no,
me.
No, I know. Where can I buy this?
You have to make it, unfortunately.
Oh, you have to make it. God, that's incredible.
Do you have any recommendations for healing skin problems for dogs? We have a golden retriever who is seems to suddenly, in the last month or 6 weeks, just start biting, and licking on his paws. And then we suddenly see on his hip, he's torn all the fur off. And
he's going to the vet tomorrow.
Yeah.
Hot spots. Oh, they're a nightmare. So you have to just... you have to keep them dry. So you've got to get like a styptic powder or something. They're going to probably give you a powder to put on to dry it up at first. Mm-hmm. And then I just use like things like aloe vera is so good.
Yeah, we've been using aloe spray. We have some in the backyard, so.
Yeah, I'll give you something for it. It's horrible. My dog did it last year.
Yeah,
you feel kind of helpless, too, because he can't tell you what's wrong, you know? I mean, my sense is that it's environmental, but I don't know.
Adding coconut oil to the food or butter. I love butter and ghee and tallow. I put that, like my dogs get a spoonful of chicken schmaltz as well.
Mm. Butter and what else?
Butter, coconut oil or tallow. Tallow is great.
What is that?
Beef tallow. It's fat. It's beef fat.
Oh, okay. Huh. Well, we've got butter and we have coconut oil, Rob.
Yeah, right.
We'll put that as food.
Yeah, it'll help hydrate him from the inside.
Huh. Okay.
So what do you do to de-stress besides sex, I guess?
That every day, but I walk 5 times a week. I've got a group of women that I walk with, and we walk for about an hour to an hour and a half with our little doggies. I forage mushrooms. I'm a big mushroom forager, culinary mushrooms that I eat. And actually psilocybes. We do harvest psilocybes in season as well. And I forage weeds. I love it. Huh. That's my favorite thing in the world.
I mean, are you surrounded by countryside?
Yeah, we go to the botanical gardens.
Okay.
With our dogs. And they're not supposed to be there, but it's South Africa and it's the wild west and we break the law all the time. I must be honest and say that's also why I wanted to come back here, because Ireland was very strict and everybody followed the
rules.
They did exactly as they were told. They were very good little boys and girls.
Driving us.
Not like that. So during lockdown, and I was like, oh, I was going crazy. And everybody was like following the rules and it was just nuts. I couldn't take it anymore. Ireland had the longest, most draconian lockdown in all of Europe. It was hell.
I remember reading about that.
Yeah,
we were stopped. So my brother had a heart attack. My brother, his marriage broke up. He came to live with us. And he was having a heart attack in February 2021. And I was rushing him to the hospital and the police stopped us and said, oh, because you had to be within 10 kilometers of your house. And they could see by my license plate. Where are you going? I said, to the hospital. My brother's having a heart attack. Oh, which hospital? I said, Cork Hospital. He says, do you have a letter?
Oh, God.
That to me just typified the issue. And I got home after that. I lay in the parking lot crying because they wouldn't let me in. And when we got home, I said to my husband, that's it. We're going home. I can't take this anymore.
Wow. Well, what happened to your brother? Did he get treatment?
Sat in a chair for 6 hours. Finally got a bed, and in 11 hours he was treated. And the damage that was caused another heart attack much later. But he sat in that chair and without a bed for 11 hours because the hospital was terribly busy. And then they put out that same hospital a week later, put out one of those highly choreographed dance videos with all the nurses. You know, he'd been sitting anyway. He's okay. But it's his journey. It was horrible. The whole thing was horrible. We all had a horrible time. That's why I'd made a psycho comedy drama about the lockdowns.
Yeah.
God, sounds awful. Yeah. I just never envisioned Ireland like that for some weird reason.
Me either. So in South Africa, we're really cowboys. We're the real cowboys now. We drive on the wrong side of the road and you know, we don't follow the rules.
Oh, you drive on the left side of the road like in England then?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what would you like to leave to your children and their children, to the world? Wow. What world would you like to leave?
A world where healing, where we are self-healing, where we understand the mechanisms of our body and we can actually self-heal. A world where we're kind to each other and loving to each other, and where the divine feminine and the divine masculine are in balance with each other. I think we need to get past this terrible duality that we've been in, where people hate each other based on some weird tribal perception of each other. That's got to go.
Yeah.
It's your next novel. what are the, this perfect world where everything is in balance?
That's an interesting one because, if you know, in the world of duality, there has to be a shadow.
Exactly. You can't have it. If everything is wonderful, the readers
wouldn't read it. But
it'd take a couple paragraphs. And, oh, that's nice. And put it down, pick up another book where something's happening.
You guys ask interesting questions. Yeah, that's very true. If there's no discord, if there's no tension, there's no conflict.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there could be the threat of tension in the shadow world. What you just said, that
we work as ghostwriters for a British company called Readsy in London. And so people who have story ideas and the stories that they've started writing and want a ghostwriter to help them out. And that's the most common thing we find is that, you know,
there's no antagonist.
And it's really boring. You know, I mean, you got to start out with something that grips the reader or you're going to lose
it. Drama.
Yeah, yeah, that's part of life.
You've got to have villains. You really have to have villains. But I always like to give my villains redemption at the end of the story, and that's because in cognitive behavioral therapy, which I've gotten into, when you tell people a new story, you have to make sure that everybody in the story has redemption, including the villains, because people will identify that's with true. Everybody in the story.
Right, yeah. Cardboard villains you know, don't really work. I mean, that's...
well, cardboard villains are uninteresting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what's the strangest goddess download you've had?
So I've had some weird ones. I've gone into black holes and out of white holes. I've gone into dark matter, into atoms, into my cells of my body. I've been through my own digestive tract. I've been, I met one of my really powerful ones was meeting an entity, a goddess who is millions of years old. And she's the size of the universe. And I went through her head, through her, it was like I went into her face and then I went through her brain. And while I was going through her mind, she was observing me with this millions of years old. It was so a very alien. She was reptilian and insectoid. She was a hybrid insectoid reptilian. And she just regarded me with no malevolence or benevolence on either way, just absolutely neutrally to say, basically, it's just an acceptance of this is me and that is you. Very cool experience. I've also, one of my favorite ones was going down into the center of the earth and to the core of the earth and then coming back up through the layers of the earth. And as I was going back up through the layers, I was meeting different forms of life. And then I was meeting, as I got closer to the surface, different forms of life that exists in other dimensions that are where the sentient life form is. So in some of it was fungus, in some of it was algae, in some of it was metal. There were crystalline dimensions where the entities were made out of crystal. And then I saw this goddess who had this amazing plaque on her head, like this beautiful big plaque. So a humanoid face and a huge plaque. Like the aliens from that movie with Will Smith, Independence Day. And I saw her, I saw that goddess, and she said to me, I'll be your last goddess. And I haven't drawn her yet. She was one of the first ones that I ever met, and she hasn't come out of my pencil. And I know that when she comes out of my pencil, that will be when I stop channeling in that way.
Well, maybe you shouldn't do her yet.
I don't want to.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got the next deck has 49, and they are absolutely wildly, insanely beautiful. Some of them are crazy scary. It's just very cool.
You have a second deck then. Is that what you're saying? Oh, wow.
Well, I haven't told Bear & Co. Company yet. they're publishing me as soon as this one's finished, they're going to have to publish the next one.
Okay, so you draw these and then what? Then you paint them watercolor?
I actually use, I know people have said that I paint them. It's not, they're not actually painted. I use oil markers. So it's marker pens, but they're oil paints in markers.
Huh.
It's just very, very fine and fiddly. And to paint those, it would have taken me 2 or 3 years probably.
Yeah.
Instead of
Laura, our daughter's an artist. That's why I'm asking, because, you know, it's.
Yeah, she's transitioned from painting with paints and paint brushes to more on the computer. How about that world? Have you moved into that too?
Technology and me, we're not great friends. I'm really where computers come to die. My 82-year-old mother helps me with tech stuff.
Okay. Well,
I love it.
You're able to connect with us nicely.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So I also must say, one of the things that Bear & Company liked about my cards, that Nature Traditions liked, was that everything comes from me. So I drew them, mm-hmm. I painted them, I wrote them, I muscle tested for everything. So I am the origin point of all of them.
Yeah.
So for me, a computer often feels like AI in a way. It feels like it's taking away some of the work that I'm supposed to do. And I think the work is sacred. That's a meditation.
Right.
So painting on a computer is great if what you're doing is geared in that way. But for me, the sacred work that I do has to happen from my fingers.
So when you say that they're oil pens, is that what you said?
Yeah, they're oil markers.
Markers, okay.
Yeah. Interesting.
I don't know if I've ever seen an oil marker. I mean,
they're like the Copic pens. They're those ones that have got the big fat wedge on the one side and the
skinny.
Okay. On the other. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. How long would it take you to color in one of these drawings?
A night probably. I've never enjoyed TV really. The TV is on, but I never watch it. Mm-hmm. So I sit and draw. And or I knit or I crochet. That's something really interesting. Women have a lot more slow twitch muscle fiber. Men have a lot more fast twitch muscle fiber in their arms. And so that's why men are more suited to hunting and throwing. And that's why they like boxing, those kinds of things. Women are more suited to fine detail and work, which is why we like doing things like embroidery and knitting and crochet. So I never understood. I was this sort of hardcore feminist, and I love to crochet. I love to knit, and I go through this. I'm not a very
good knitter. Pretty. I love that.
And so I'd go secretly knit where nobody could see me because I didn't think it was sexy.
I don't know how to crochet. I don't know how to knit. I don't even know how to sew. So where does that leave me?
It's anything. It's drawing. It's doing anything that's small and fine. So like, it's even just having habits of moving your fingers. Or I don't know. My mom rubs things with her thumb, and I think that's part of it.
Huh.
It's a feeling in me. Trish, you need to start crocheting. I hate to tell you.
Oh God, it'd be a disaster. That's pretty though. Mine would not turn out like that.
So, Bronwyn, we've reached the end of our hour. I want to thank you for coming on. We've really enjoyed talking.
Now, when your second deck comes out, please let us interview you again.
Yeah.
Definitely. I've had so much fun. This is the most fun I've had at 2 a.m. in years.
Right. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Next time we'll do it a more hospitable hour for you.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on.
This has been great. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
And I'll say the South African way of saying goodbye, Hambagashle, which means
I like
go
that.
Okay. Good night. Get some sleep.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Thanks for joining The Mystical Underground. Visit www.themysticalunderground.com for the latest blog post and book info. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app. Listen to the podcast at podcast.themysticalunderground.com. Follow Trish and Rob on Instagram at Trish and Rob McGregor. Follow us on Twitter at The Mystic Cast. Send email to podcast@themysticalunderground.com. And until next week, thank you for listening and stay mystical.